So we're still talking about the Holy Spirit, and we had about five questions that we were going to try to answer about the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's one thing that was not always true of our church and is true now. But what used to not be true of our church was a lot of us had come from pretty similar backgrounds. That is not the case in this day and age, in 2019. Some of you guys have come from super conservative backgrounds. You've come from backgrounds where the Holy Spirit was maybe taught about a little bit differently or not at all, or us charismatics were people that you should stay away from, and if we walk in a restaurant, you should walk out. Some of you have grown up in ultra-Pentecostal settings where if the pastor's not preaching on the Holy Spirit five times in 4 weeks, then we have a problem. So we have quite a wide range of this subject. Of all the different subjects in the Bible, this subject tends to get us fearful or get us really excited, maybe too excited, I don't know, or gets us confused. And there tends to be a lot of maybe baggage with this subject. And so we're trying to just really do a broad overview. We've been learning about the Holy Spirit for probably a couple months now. I don't know how long it's been. I've been having fun. Sometimes by the look on your face, one of us is. Just kidding. So hoping that we're learning who he is and what he's doing in our life. And ultimately, at the end of this, we want God to be God in our lives. And so he is the person of God. There's three persons of God. There's one God, but there's three persons. Someone was just talking about their class when they were hearing about in their class. They said, well, in the Old Testament, it says, let us make man in our image. And they're like, that's the Trinity. Like, yep, it is. And so the Holy Spirit is the person of God that we interact with on earth here. Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to send you another comforter, helper, advocate. There's a lot of different words that is used because that word in the Greek just holds a lot of meaning. But then we got to this part where we're talking about what I would say probably would be the more controversial part, but we're just saying, hey, everyone relax. Look at your neighbor, say, relax. Yeah, we're not getting too wired up and fired up about this. If you've already made it through the doors, you kind of know where we are at as a church. But we're just kind of looking at what the Word of God says. And we allow you to have some different opinions and kind of find your way through the subject of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Even if we think we have it nailed down, we probably don't know everything, do we? So we want to be good students, and we want to be good stewards, and we want to study the Word. But maybe, just maybe, God could do something that isn't on our little list of things that he's supposed to do, right? So we're going to look at the Word of God. There is the danger that this message is going to sound like a carbon copy of last week. So I apologize if that's the truth, because as you know, when I do sermons, I've done this in youth group for years, and we love to do series because it repeats stuff. Because I don't know about you, I don't get it the first time around. All right. Now, we normally have like three people that respond. That was like six or seven. So I feel like there's a great percentage of the crowd that is also the same way. And our schools know that. And you as parents, you know that. And the Bible says, you know, when it was talking to the Israelite kids, you know, write out the laws of God, hang them on your doorposts and your heads and your sleeves and whatever. Like, you need to be constantly reminded of this stuff. And so that's the fun thing with series, is you get to kind of rehash some of this stuff. So in my review, as I was going through my notes, I'm like, we got through part of one of the five questions last week. And I went, oh, we're not doing so hot time-wise, are we? We're taking a two-month series and turning it into a two-year series. I hope not. But so as I was reviewing today, I was going to come back and talk a little bit more about some of them. We talked about some of specifically what they are. And I don't want this to be like a class where we just really get deep into it, because that's not our purpose here. But we just want to go through an overview. So if this is too much review, I apologize. But we want to try to hit on a couple of these that we didn't hit last time. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, what are they? That was the first of our question. Don Stewart from the Blue Letter Bible app says this: spiritual gifts are either supernatural abilities that God has bestowed on individuals, or they're God-given natural abilities, but here's the caveat, they function through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they can be either one of those, they can be both of those. Spiritual gifts are either supernatural abilities. And what do we mean by that? We mean by, we talked about, this is one of them that we did talk about last time, a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is this. In my head, I just, you know, maybe meet Brian for the first time. Brian always gets picked on because he's up front. I maybe meet John for the first time. And I don't really know anything about John, but all of a sudden, I just have this overwhelming understanding. I don't know where it's coming from, but I just know that John has whatever, a 1967 Camaro that he wants to sell me for $100. Like, I just know that about him. And if that's true, please give me a witness. Amen? No? So there's this information that comes about, and I don't have any way of knowing that. I can't see, like, he's wearing a Camaro shirt, or you know what I mean? There's no natural clues. There's no ability in my natural state. It was information that was not there inside of me 5 minutes ago and is now. And it's often used in church services, but it's often used in our personal lives. All of these gifts, as we'll see later, are for ministry. They're for touching hearts of people. It's for building up the church. And so, you know, maybe just whatever. Maybe John was, I don't know, needed to get rid of that Camaro and he needed $100. I don't know. But for some reason, God let me know that. Or that someone is sick. Or that they've got a sister that is struggling and walking away from God or whatever. And so, well, what do you suppose that knowledge would be for? Maybe I should talk to that person and say, do you have a sister? Well, I do, yeah. Are you a believer? I am. Why do you ask? Is your sister a believer? I don't know why I'm telling you this, but she is, but she's struggling. She's walking away from God. And you would say, I know, the Lord told me that. Really? And what do you suppose our next step should be? Maybe we should pray with them. You see what I mean? It's for people. It's not so you can be like, hey, look at me, I know stuff. So that's what I mean by that first one. It's a supernatural ability, and there's a bunch of them that are supernatural abilities. Or it's a God-given natural ability, but the Holy Spirit will breathe on it and bring supernatural results, like life change in people. So we went over this last time, I know that. We talked about this last time, charisma, and one of the words that we get, that an English word that we get from charisma is a charismatic church. Charismatic. That means that we really believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But the word charis, the root word of charisma, it means grace. Anywhere you see the word grace in your Bible, that's the Greek word charis. Grace, the just God showing up without you deserving it and empowering you. And there's lots of different cool definitions of grace. But, you know, empowering you to be what he wants you to be. But then when you add to charis, when you add ma on the end of it, charisma, it ends up being gift. It's translated gift in the English. But it's really, the root word is grace. It's this grace gift. So all these gifts of the Spirit are things that we didn't deserve. You didn't earn a word of knowledge or a prophecy or a gift of faith. Like, you did nothing to earn that. You're not good enough, or you didn't like put in your Christian, you know, minutes or whatever that you qualified to be now used of God or whatever. So we see that charisma means grace gift. We read these. So let me say this first. There's about four different sections where it talks about these gifts. We made it through, I think, just about three of them last time. That's why I'm not holding out a lot of hope for getting very far today. But okay. So this is the one in Romans chapter 12. It's verses 6 through 8. Now look at the very beginning. These were not highlighted last time. Remember we said charisma means grace gift? Look at this. It's a list of gifts. And in the very beginning, in verse 6, he says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. So this is new from last time. So it's the grace of God that gives us these gifts. Whatever gift it is, whichever one, it's his grace. It's his grace. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that does the hard work and the heavy lifting. It's his grace. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This is in the New Living Translation. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So the first one, and this will be a repeat later, so I'll just talk about it now. The gift of prophecy, that's a confusing one. People struggle with that one. And if you look at the Old Testament prophets, you know, they were kind of rough dudes, okay? They're always kind of, all right, Israel, you guys, you should have done this, or here's what God's saying. And that gift is a little bit different in the New Testament, because in the Old Testament, not everybody could hear God's voice. Not everybody had a relationship with God. There were people that lived righteously, but there were not people that had this interaction with God. And today, Jesus, we say that he's my Lord and Savior. He's my personal Savior, right? The movement of God in our lives happens on a personal level these days. And so that's what's different about Old Testament versus New Testament, is that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. So you can read the Word of God, and you can hear God speak to you. You can have, as Stephen talked about 2 weeks ago, you can have the nudge. You can have the green light, red light, yellow light. You can have that nudge in you where you're sensing, you know, you might call it conscience or whatever, but where the Holy Spirit is saying, this is a good thing or this is a bad thing, where God's trying to say, you should do this or you shouldn't do this. We get to have that these days. So prophecy holds a little different place, because in the Old Testament, if you wanted to hear God, you needed a prophet. If you look through there was times they would go look for a prophet. Is there not a prophet among us? Who can tell us what God's saying? Well, nowadays, the Holy Spirit indwells his church. And so we all have this inner guiding, this Holy Spirit that speaks to us on the inside. So the gift of prophecy, there's kind of two components, main components to it. It's prediction and it's revelation. And that still exists today. So there's lots of different ways that looks and that happens, but it's essentially someone saying what God is really saying to you or to his church, bringing a third party in. Like, we can hear God's voice, but sometimes, how many know that sometimes I can be dull, daft, unhearing, tunnel visioned. I don't care what word you put into it. I just don't get it sometimes, right? Now, I know you guys would never get into a situation like that, but there's sometimes where I just don't get it. Like, you know what I mean? I just can't. And God's like, oh, are you serious? I'm like, I don't. And so there's times where the gift of prophecy will be someone speaking the things of God to me. It could be in a corporate service or it could be individually. And Marnie and I have had a lot of prophetic words over us, you know, to us, over us, however you say that. And some were like, afterwards, were like, that could have been pizza. I don't know if that's, and we'll write them down. And Marnie's really good at journaling stuff like that. And the key with some of these things, especially these gifts where you're hearing God from someone else, one of the keys to them is, and it says it in Scripture, to judge that, to weigh that. And it doesn't mean that someone has ill intentions or evil towards you, but sometimes they just miss it. Sometimes it's just, and that's one of the criticisms against some of the gifts. Wow, if it's really God, then it would be perfect. Well, sometimes God, there's a two parts to these spiritual gifts. There's our part and there's God's part. God's part is always 100%. Our part, oh my gosh, have you lived with you for a while? Do you know what I mean? Our part is sketchy at best. And so we're always leaning into that and working to do better. But there's times where we've written them down, and I can think of one specifically that about 4 years ago, and it was a prophetic word, kind of word of knowledge kind of thing, and they kind of mesh together sometimes. And it was about three or four high points that was going to be happening in our life, and every single one of them has happened verbatim. And so the cool thing is we get to hear from God for ourselves, but at the same time, there's other times where we're maybe discouraged, or we need some kind of guideposts, you know, like to really let us know that God hears us. He knows where we're at. You know what I mean? Anyone ever get discouraged? No, two people? Okay. Well, we're going to pray for those two people after church today. No, we all get discouraged. And we all like, God, are you really hearing me? And prophecy can be that. It can be a clarification, a prophetic word, kind of what God is doing or what's happening. Maybe, you know, we're getting confused or we're getting emotionally distraught, and God will say, This is what I'm doing now, and you know, take heart or whatever. And it's kind of a clarification, but it can be prediction and it can be revelation. What is God doing? So we won't spend any more time on that one. We'll move along. If we talked about this last time, if your gift is serving, see, we talked last time, we said we have natural abilities, right? But sometimes they're ultra concentrated and God gives a supernatural ability to do these natural things. We're all to be servant. I won't spend a lot of time because we covered it last time, but we should all be serving, right? Yes or no? Yes. Correct. So we should all be serving, but sometimes people have a gift of serving. They can just... It's just incredible what they can do. If you're a teacher, now we're all, to some degree, we're all teachers. To some degree, we're all, you know, sharing what we know and encouraging others and helping people move along through life. But there are some people who their gift is a teacher. It's a supernatural ability. And it's often with the things of God, the Word of God, the Scriptures. And it's this ability to take Scriptures. You see, bad teachers like me can take simple things and make them confusing. Great teachers can take complicated things and make them so a child could understand. They have this ability to kind of unravel the Word of God and what God is saying and present it in a way that you walk out and you go, I didn't even think of it like that. Like, wow, that is so good. And now you now have access to that little nugget of the Word of God that you didn't have before, and that's a teacher's job. They take things that are hidden and make them disclosed, make them revealed. That's what teachers do. If your gift is to encourage, then be encouraging. Some Bibles will say exhortation, and Stephen has that gift. He has a gift of encouragement. He has a gift of exhorting. And often that's what a lot of preaching is, exhortation. It's encouraging us to live our lives, you know, in the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit and, you know, kind of that rallying cry. If it's giving, we talked about that one last time. If God is giving you leadership ability, there is a supernatural gift of leadership. Leadership. You know what to do at the right time. It's like when the bus crashes, and we do this in our personality tests in youth group. When the bus crashes and everyone's just kind of shell-shocked and doesn't know what to do. You know, there's some people are injured and some people are okay, but everyone's kind of in shock. The guy that stands up and is like, all right, you guys, you need to sit down over there. You take care, you know, that administration, that leadership. So there's a supernatural gift in the church realm of leadership. Mm-hmm. There's a gift for showing kindness. Some Bibles will say mercy. That you just have a supernatural ability to see hurt and help hurt. You help hurting people. People without the gift of mercy, often we don't even see that stuff. Oh, did you see Jimmy today? Oh man, his eyes were puffy and he just is really struggling. Oh, was Jimmy there? You know what I mean? Like, people with this gift of mercy, you just have this just, it's a supernatural ability. You kind of have a hurt radar. You're like, who needs help today? You know what I mean? You have this, someone's hurting, either physically or emotionally, and you just, you're drawn to help and bring compassion. Okay, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. We got through this one last time. This one's shorter. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Verse 11, do you have the gift of speaking? That's another spiritual gift. I know this is review, but in case you weren't here or in case you missed it, we just want to hit some of these again. Next one, do you have the gift of helping others? Okay, so that's just a different section where people will always point to where it talks about spiritual gifts. This one, we made it about halfway through last time. This is the Pentecostal kind of, and if you've read teaching on this before and talked about motivational gifts, ministry gifts, and manifestation gifts, these would be the manifestation gifts. We're not worrying about categories and stuff today. It's the Holy Spirit that does all of them. So we're just talking about gifts. So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse number 8. This is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. This is the NIV version. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. That's what we just talked about earlier, the word of knowledge. Last time we talked about the word of wisdom as well, where it's kind of divine direction. I was just reading a story about a guy who was just, the economy had turned, and just his business was now in all kinds of debt that they weren't before. And they just prayed and prayed and prayed, and God woke him up in the middle of the night and gave him a word of wisdom, gave him a message of wisdom on what to do. He did. God said, if you would do these two things, your situation would turn around. He did those two things, and their debt dropped by millions. And so it just, you're listening for God for just supernatural direction, for divine wisdom, okay? And that can be for someone else. It often is for someone else. To another, faith by that same Spirit. Now, we all have faith. We talked about this last time. We all have faith. Everyone's been given faith. Who's been given faith? Everyone, all of us. But there is a supernatural gift of faith. Some people walk in that maybe all the time. Some people walk in that. I told you my story. One time that I know of, maybe more, but for sure one time that I can say for certain that the gift of faith operated in my life, and every single person that pastor prayed for, I was praying with pastor. Pastor was praying for people at a tent meeting. Every single one got healed. Every single one. Whatever we prayed for, it got taken care of. It was phenomenal. I would just, wow, if it could work like that every time, that would be incredible. But our flesh and our pride would not be able to handle that. So it doesn't work like that all the time. To another, gifts of healing. This is where we stopped last time. Gifts of healing. We could spend messages weeks long on that. We're not going to talk about that. We all know what healing is. It's a supernatural moment where God heals. And oftentimes, different people teach it differently. We feel like oftentimes gifts of healing can be a slower process, but God's healing and it's through our prayers or whatever. And then the second one, miraculous powers or workings of miracles. If you read some stories about what Jesus does in third world countries or in the Middle East today, these days, Paul Tucker, when he's been here, you know, they had seen all kinds of miraculous things happen. God does miracles. He does miracles. I don't know all the answers to all the questions why he doesn't do that all the time everywhere. I don't know. But I know that one of the things that he does is he works through people with miraculous powers for his glory at different times. Prophecy, we already talked about that one. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Do you guys know that when in the Word of God in Acts, when Paul was walking around preaching, pretty sure it was Paul. I should have looked it up. There was a girl running after him. And do you remember what she was saying? These are men of the Most High God, you know? Was that true or not? It was true. So it was a little girl, or I don't know, a girl of some type, that was saying the right thing. And it went on for days. And finally Paul said, cast out the demons in the name of Jesus. Be quiet. And she lost her ability to be a fortune teller, to tell the future. But he knew that, and it wasn't that what she was saying was wrong. And I don't know why it was annoying to him. I don't know if it was distracting. We don't know all the whole context. For some reason, Paul decided, all right, enough is enough, and put a stop to it. Because it was the right thing, but it was from a demonic spirit. And he operated in that gift. And there's other examples of that happening in the New Testament. There's times where, I mean, wouldn't you just love to know? Here's what this is not. This is not the gift of suspicion. This is not the gift of criticism. Wow, they just got it. No, that's not what that is. It's the ability by the Spirit of God to give you insight into what's going on that might look good for you to understand that this could be a trap, or this could be, and it's not for you to be nasty, and it's not, see, we're going to get into later, we're going to talk about how these gifts work, and it's never to destroy people, and it's never to be nasty. And so a lot of people might feel like they're operating in that gift, and they have the gift of criticism, and they have the gift of suspicion, and well, they're just, really? Shh. Maybe let's not slander people. Okay? And then the last ones, which just love to get people so worked up. I have never figured out why these, especially this one, why this one little gift gets so much attention. But it's speaking in different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so we're, if you are familiar or not familiar with charismatics, tongues is the one that gets all the press, and everyone's all either you have to do it or you shouldn't do it, or I don't know. It's just bizarre how that one gift, and it's in a list of other gifts. And so we're just going to let it be in a list of other gifts. It's God doing things. We believe in it here, and we practice it in our lives. It's edifying for your spirit. It has a place. And that's all we're going to really say about it, because it's gotten enough attention already. Let's let someone else get the attention. All right? The next section of Scripture, we didn't get to this one last time. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? We're assuming that the answer to that is no. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit wants to give the right gift, and Pastor would say this often. The Holy Spirit wants to give the right gift at the right time for the right need. And that's what all of these gifts are. And that's why we're not spending a lot of time classifying, oh, these are the power gifts. These are the revelation gifts. That's a great subject for a Bible study sometime or a class. We're just talking about this is the Holy Spirit who can be scary but shouldn't be, who can be mysterious and should be, but we can learn from the Word of God, and it's God working in us to reach other people and to minister to other people, okay? Every one of these, from helping and serving to tongues or to working of miracles, whatever one it is, it's the Holy Spirit doing it. He fills our life and works through us to do something that God wants to do. All right, next. Who can have them? Okay, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Who can have them? And we'll just answer that question. Let's look at some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. That's what we were just talking about. It's the same Holy Spirit. Here's just a bit of understanding. In that time, in that day and age, there were so many gods. There were multiple gods that they worshipped, you know, all the different times. It would have been very natural when someone was doing miracles over here, and then someone had a word of knowledge over here, and then someone had gifts of healing over there, for them to think, wow, look at all the gods that are showing up in our meetings. And so you'll see this stressed over and over that there's different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Everyone say same. It's all from one place. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. So in who? Everyone. It's right here. Everyone. Who's in everyone? You guys do not sound convinced on this one. Look at your neighbor, point at them with a long bony finger and say, you're in everyone. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one. Oh, so we have an everyone and we have an each one. Well, you are in each one. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 7. To each one. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. See, we hit that point again. It's the same Holy Spirit. And he distributes them to who? Each one, just as he determines. Man, we're three verses in. We got each one, everyone. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For we were all baptized by one. Now we're changing it up. We're all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given from one Spirit to drink. Next verse. Romans 12, 6 says this, we have different gifts according to the grace, there's that word grace again, according to the charis, we all have different charisma according to the charis given to who? Each of us. Look at your other neighbor and just nod. They know, you're in each. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you. Now, when I looked up all these different passages where we're talking about gifts, never in there is a talk about a special group of people or a unique, you know, Christian qualification to have. It's again and again and again and again. It's talking about each of you, all of you, everyone, all, each and every. Everyone has been given a gift. Angie stands up here week after week and says it. And Marnie says it. And you hear me say it. And Stephen will say it. Like, each of us, we love the gifts that are at work in the body here. 1 Corinthians 7:7, Paul says this, I wish all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. Who does? Each of us. Each of you has your own gift. Really? How many times do we need to see this to realize that every one of us, you are not insignificant. You are not ungifted. Every single one of us has a purpose and has a gift. Or the Bible is lying, not just once or two times or three times. It's lying a lot. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. You can all prophesy. There is just a width and breadth of information saying this is for all of us. This is not for a select group of special people. This isn't just for the pastor. Spiritual gifts are for anybody that has contact with the Holy Spirit. And we all do, because that's how we get saved. That's how we, when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, when we become born again, we're sealed with His Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, the gifts show up. All right. I have some other thoughts on this, but we're going to start by just going through the Word of God to answer this question. Okay, well, how do I get them? How do I get them? I want to say, first of all, if you're going by the second part of that one definition, that these are natural abilities that are under the direction of the Holy Spirit, there are some things that maybe serving and helps and some of those that we might be naturally wired for, but we believe those gifts. Chip Ingram has some great teaching on this. It's a little different than I've ever heard before, but he's kind of put a bunch of different ones together and kind of picked what he feels is the most representative of the Word of God. He says that when we get born again, when we invite Jesus into our life and our spirit is made new, that the Holy Spirit marks us, seals us, shows up in our life, and then shows up with our spiritual gifts. Okay? We're going to go into a little more charismatic version of that and look through the scriptures and see. But some of those show up when you get saved. It's the Holy Spirit highlighting, I think, part of how we're wired, you know, from birth, whether we're leaders or servants or whatever. So how do I get them? We're going to look at scripturally. Everybody knows if you're in a Pentecostal church, you're going to know Acts chapter 2, because that's the section we're going to talk about over and over again. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, we're answering the question, how do they get gifts? They were all together in one place because Jesus told them to wait there. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they were waiting, they were praying, waiting for God. God shows up, and this was the promised outpouring. And so Peter talked about it, you know. The next section is in Acts chapter 8. When the apostles, it's in 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where those of us that come from a charismatic background would say that we believe that there's a definite difference between salvation, being saved, when we say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, take my sins, and then we enter into the kingdom of God. We're now a child of God. And that's what had happened. And if you go back, it's, you know, they're burning scrolls, you know, getting rid of witchcraft and stuff. And so all these people had gotten baptized. When the apostles heard that they had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. So Peter and John show up to see all these people who now were believers. They had believed in Jesus Christ and they had gotten baptized. Okay? So they are believers, they're baptized, they're going to church, they're doing the Jesus things, they're living for God, all right, lots of hallelujahs and whatever, right? They're doing the things. And then Peter and John show up and they're like, wait a minute, you guys haven't received the Holy Spirit yet? Because he had not come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We believe that there's an initial filling and a subsequent fillings, that you're saved and the Holy Spirit seals your life, but then there's also a moment where we can be immersed in. And so we're not going to talk a lot about that today, but where we're immersed in the Holy Spirit, where he just fills every part of us, filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that's what happened there. Acts chapter 10 says this. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening. So there's this whole, is Cornelius and the whole other, you can read the chapter. But Peter's saying all these different things. We know that God has come to the Gentiles, okay. The Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. I like that. The preacher's just preaching and people start getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We like that kind of interaction. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Acts 19, verses 1 through 3. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Okay, so Paul shows up at Ephesus, finds that there's some believers there. Cool. And he said, hey, guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. He's like, well, I got news for you. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Verses 4 through 6 says this. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So here we see lots of different times where people are praying for them, and then there's this interaction between God and man that happens. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift which was given to you. This is Paul talking to Timothy through prophecy. So here's what happened to Timothy. He got his gift through a prophetic word, and then the elders laid their hands on him. So that's how Timothy's gift was initiated in him. 2 Timothy 1:6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. 2 Timothy 1:6. Yep, we were talking about stir up the ashes today. Yeah, fan into flame the things that God's doing in your heart. Let me go just a little bit further. So how does this work? We're not going to get to all the nuts and bolts, but we're going to just finish with this question today. I found it really interesting when I was doing this research to find out the next four verses that come now. 1 Corinthians 12, like this is not every bit about how the nuts and bolts of the gifts work, but like how do we start this process? 1 Corinthians 12:31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Well, that could be a whole teaching right there. And it talks about gifts that build up the church, but eagerly desire. Not just a little bit, but let your heart yearn for the things of God. So Paul is saying, you want to be involved in the things of God. You want to have your life make a difference in other people's lives. You want to be productive, I don't know what the right word is, fruitful maybe is a better word, in the kingdom of God, then eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let your desires be for the things of God. Point your wants and your needs, instead of towards fleshly things, point them towards the things of God. And he said the greater gifts, the gifts that, and he kind of sort of defines it in a different spot, it's the gifts that really build up the church. So the next verse is this, 1 Corinthians 14:1. This is a different verse now. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire, or fear and run away. No, I'm just kidding. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And I just find it really interesting that if we're just going to go to the Word of God, again and again, he says, let your hearts be drawn towards the moving of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit. That's the third time now it's talked about being eager, being just anticipating and excited for the things of God. Listen to this. This might throw some of you for a loop here. Try to excel in those that build up the church. Try to excel at those that, we're just about done. Try to excel. I've had conversations with some of you guys, and some of you have a different opinion on this. My opinion is that this is accurate. Like, there's a human component, because that verse used to kind of just throw me. Because you see some of these other verses where they laid their hands on them and then people just started prophesying and speaking in tongues. And I know that happens. We've seen that with personal experience in our lives. But some of these gifts need to be cultivated. Does that make sense? Stewardship means taking what God's given you and then using that for His glory. Really handling that well. And so this verse is telling us to try to have the gifts in your life that build up the church. Try to excel at those. Try to like do better at those. And some of us, and if we've come from that Pentecostal background where we're like, well, it's all 100% God. It's just like, if God wants it to be this way, he'll do that. And that's not exactly what this verse is saying. Well, if you're going to prophesy or whatever, you're just going to do it or you're not. And my thought is that we need to steward our gifts, whether it's a gift of helping or service or leadership or prophecy, that we can get better at it. It never comes from humanity. It never comes from our side, but our side is always the problem. The Holy Spirit's side, he's always accurate. He's always willing to minister. He's always willing to work. But maybe we don't, one of the ways that we excel at it is we actually do it. We get this little nudge and we know we're supposed to say this word or whatever, and we don't. That's one way that we can excel at is actually being obedient, just when God is stirring our heart to do something. All right, one more verse. Last one. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Four times talks about being eager for the things of God. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Why would you want to forbid speaking in tongues? Because it makes people nervous. And often the things of God make us nervous. And that's okay. But we just need to understand that all of these gifts is just the Holy Spirit and how he has chosen to work through his church. And it's all about him. It's all about him. It's never about the person with the gift. It's never about looking at the person that has the gift. It's all about the Holy Spirit wanting to touch lives. So I know that was just a ton of information. I know we went through way more verses, but we're just really trying to lay a foundation scripturally. Because these gifts, they come with a lot of apprehension or a lot of zealousness or whatever. What does God want us to know from his word? Be eager for the things of God.